I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Go Bears! What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Friday, July 17th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Friday. The weekend is here. We now only have two more weekends, this weekend and next weekend, until it's officially Eagles training camp time. Yes, we're counting down the days here at the Go Birds pod because it's been a long offseason. It's been an interesting offseason. Obviously, I'm not going to go ahead and recap the whole offseason. And I feel like we've mostly made it through the whole offseason with something to talk about every day. It's getting a little thin now, right? The lists are running out. The free agency moves are basically over. But don't worry. We got some stuff for you today in Eagles land. Of course, we're going to talk about the biggest story in Philly sports right now, which is the possibility that LeBron James could sign with the Sixers. Talked about it on the morning show yesterday. If you look in your podcast feed, me and James, a little Go Birds, clap your hands, morning show crossover, a couple hours talking about LeBron. So that's in your feed if you want to check that out. And then this morning, I'm on WIP again on the morning show with Tom Kelly. Never really get a chance to work with Tom Kelly, a very underrated takesman, in my opinion. Very good with opinions, really cares a lot about Philly sports. I think that comes across when you hear him. Kind of reminds me of another Rob Ellis, if I had to compare him to someone. So very excited to work with him this morning. And then, of course, Ashlyn Sullivan will be there as well as she was on Thursday morning. So check out WIP if it's before 10 a.m. or it'll be in your podcast feed later today. So like I said, let's talk about LeBron, but through Eagles lenses, because of course, that's the only way I know how to talk about things. So on Thursday morning, we were talking about the idea of LeBron potentially signing with the Sixers. And look, by the time you're listening to this, maybe he's picked. I'm not going to let LeBron dictate my schedule. I'm not waiting until 11 o'clock at night to record just because LeBron wants to take forever to announce where he's going to play. But if he does sign here, if he already has signed here, or if maybe he's decided to sign somewhere else, one thing that we talked about on Thursday was the idea of if LeBron came, how the Sixers could manage all of the stars and all the talent that they would suddenly have on the roster. And look, I think it's been a while since we could say, look at all the talent on the Sixers roster, right? Tyrese Maxey is an all-star. VJ will probably be an all-star maybe this year, but I would think he's projecting to be an all-star within the next 2 or 3 years. Jaylen Brown, one of the best players in the NBA, obviously an all-star caliber player. Joel Embiid, and then you add LeBron to that, and you're talking about a starting five that could all be all-stars. It would be like the more exciting, talented version of when the Hawks starting five were all all-stars or named like player of the month or whatever that lame thing was they did a few years ago. So in discussing that, one of the concerns I would have about LeBron coming here or potentially if he already signed is just how the Sixers would be able to manage that. And I think part of the reason maybe that hits me a little more than other people, and maybe it hits you that way, I don't know, but is I have seen the Eagles and managing all that talent and how that has been somewhat of a struggle for them. Now, to be clear, I think they've done a good job of it. And that is kind of, you know, my main takeaway or overarching takeaway on the LeBron thing would be, I would trust the Eagles to bring LeBron in. I don't know if I trust the Sixers to bring LeBron in. The Eagles have a very strong backbone, right? They have a great owner, a great GM, a great head coach, a great quarterback, and a bunch of veterans in there who really set the tone for the culture, right? Like if they were to trade for Myles Garrett, let's say, and I don't know if there is an NFL equivalent of LeBron that's a non-quarterback, right? Because LeBron, the world centers around him, and that's normally quarterbacks. But let's use Myles Garrett because he's maybe the best player in the NFL, and he was traded this offseason. If they would have acquired Myles Garrett, I think the Eagles locker room could have, you know, absorbed Myles Garrett, and he probably, now I don't know him, but he probably would have somewhat gotten in line, right? Like, great player, but this is how they do things here. And I think when you're the Eagles and you have so much experience managing personalities, like, think about the personalities Eagles have managed over the past few years, right? Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, all the offensive linemen. Dallas Goedert, not much of a big personality and needs to be managed, but certainly has been a Pro Bowl-ish caliber player for them. And now on defense, Jalen Carter, right? Cooper DeJean. Not as much personality on defense now that I go through it. Jordan Davis is a personality, but more so in like a wacky way, not like a abrasive type way, or not all these guys are abrasive, but you know what I mean. Like he is, I don't think he has much of an ego, right? So the Eagles, though, have had a lot of talent with ego on the roster. When you're Saquon Barkley, the world has revolved around you. When you're AJ Brown, the world to an extent has revolved around you. When you're Jalen Hurts, and this is a lot of what we talk about when we talk about the Jalen Hurts articles that come out and some of the issues Eagles might have, is when you're Jalen Hurts and you're a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback that's the face of Jordan football and all those things, like there's a managing of a personality to happen there. And so when it comes to my concerns about LeBron coming to the Sixers, my concern is, are they able to absorb the LeBron like entity, right? His personality, the things that come with him, the expectations that come with him from like his team around him. And then also the, you know, infrastructure, like all your games are national all of a sudden, everything you say is under the spotlight. All the players will have never had spotlights on them the way they will as being on LeBron's team for what could be the final year of his career. So I think sometimes what gets a little misconstrued, and when people hear me say I don't want them to sign LeBron, it is not really an anti-LeBron thing as him. It is more a, I think everything that comes with him will be really hard for the Sixers to manage, right? They're not a team that has handled things well. They're not a team that has really handled strong personalities well. Like, look what happened with Ben Simmons. James Harden and Daryl Morey got in a fight. They couldn't handle Jimmy Butler. And so LeBron coming in, I know everybody thinks he's just going to kind of do what's best for the team and blah, blah. LeBron will run things there. And I think what the Eagles have done a good job of is no player really runs things there. Like Jalen Hurts has a lot of input because of the power he has and because there is a certain need to acquiesce to the franchise quarterback to be a successful team. But Nick Sirianni has done a very good job. Now, you saw last year, not so much. The personality of AJ Brown, the, you know, for lack of a better term, like ego, because he is a great player and he wanted to make great plays. That broke through, right? And they weren't able to handle that. But what did they do? They agreed to trade AJ Brown because, not that I think they wanted to kick him out the door, but I don't think you needed to twist their arm to get AJ out of there, right? Like, I think they would have brought him back, but I also think they saw the benefits of trading him. And part of that is because the personality and just like the distraction it was causing, they didn't want that anymore, right? At least from the outside. So I think it's very impressive how the Eagles have, what a job they've done managing personalities under Nick Sirianni, under Howie, to a certain degree under Jalen, because he has a lot to do with that locker room. And when I think of LeBron on the Sixers, I don't think they're ready as a franchise to take on what comes with LeBron James. Like maybe in a few years, if there's a somewhat equivalent player to LeBron, and I know it's tough to imagine considering who he is and what he's accomplished, maybe. But right now, they need to build their culture like from the ground up. And when you acquire a LeBron, you all of a sudden are on the top floor of a skyscraper in terms of expectation, distraction, all of that. I want to see Jalen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe, Mike Gansey, right? Nick Nurse, only been here a few years. Like, build up their culture. You don't have to rush things just because LeBron might want to come here. So, look, if they sign LeBron, it'll be like a lot of moves that, you know, they make some. Let me rephrase that. If they sign LeBron, I think I will be excited. The basketball fan of me will be excited. The guy that's covered or followed LeBron his whole career has been would be excited about it. But I think there will be a lot of problems that come with it. So that's what I've been trying to convey on WIP. I always convey things better on the Go Birds pod. I don't know if that's better or worse, but I've just been thinking a lot, especially since I was done the morning show on Thursday, about how I think the Eagles would be able to absorb someone like LeBron. I don't think the Sixers are in a place right now to bring in somebody like LeBron. But if they do, it'll certainly be interesting. All right.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So, It is the end, unfortunately, of the Jeremy Fowler's top 10 list. One of my favorite lists, if not my favorite list of the year. Obviously, I feel like I've explained this a billion times because we talk about it a lot. But if you've been on vacation, checked out, whatever, Jeremy Fowler puts out a list every year over about a 2-week span where he has NFL executives. He has 70 of them, executives, scouts, and coaches rank players 1 through 10 at each position and then puts together a list that ranks each player. So we talked about quarterbacks. Jalen came in around 17th. Saquon came in 3rd. AJ, no longer here, came in 9th. Devontae came in like 22nd or something like that. Mulatto was 3. Lane Johnson was 5. Zach Bond was 3. So the Eagles did really well, and you could tell as it was going on. They had 2 in the top 10 corners in Quinion and Cooper. They had Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis in the top 10 defensive tackles. So as this went on, you could tell they were performing really well in it. But now that it's over and we have kind of a full list of it, well, Jeremy Fowler put out that the teams with the most top 10 players, so 5 or more, right? There was 9 teams that had 5 players or more. And there were a lot of Super Bowl favorites in there. The Rams are in there. The Niners are in there. The Broncos are in there, right? But at the top of the list is the Detroit Lions with 9. And then number 2 is the Philadelphia Eagles with 8 players. So the Lions came in first with 9. The Eagles were 8. The Chiefs, surprisingly, at 7. I mean, I guess they have a great defense, so that does make some sense. But they are really, in my opinion, short of talent on the offensive side of the ball. People still seem really high on like Rashee Rice. I'll believe it when I see it. But they are missing guys, in my opinion, talent on the offensive side of the ball. But still, overall, good defense. They came in at 7. The Eagles coming in at 8, I think, is a good reminder that they still have a lot of talent on the team. Now, during the offseason practices, when I watch a team, one of my takeaways was this offense looks like it's lacking talent. And while they had 8 players in the top, 10 of their respective positions, 5 of them were on the defensive side of the ball. Only 3 of them were on offense. And that was Saquon Barkley, Jordan Mailata, and Lane Johnson. And it's just a good reminder, we'll talk about this more in a second, of how much things have changed with the Eagles' offense. They used to be such an offensive-heavy team in terms of the talent and the money, and that we are watching in real time their transition to the defensive side of the ball. There's more talent on the defensive side of the ball. There's more, in a lot of ways, eventually, money invested in the defensive side of the ball. There's more, recent high draft capital invested in the defensive side of the ball. Now, they did just take Mekhi Lemon in the first round. That is certainly a big investment. But they have gone to being, because they had so much talent on offense, they have gone to being a defensive heavy team in the draft. And as a result, when you hit on that many picks, you're going to have a ton more talent there. But another takeaway is the Rams are in there, but the Rams have 5. The Eagles have 8. That's noteworthy. For as much talk about the Rams having this unbelievable roster, the Eagles have more top 10 players than the Rams did. The Cowboys, who more and more as the season creeps closer, feel like a real threat to the Eagles. They have 5. The 49ers have 5. And then the Lions, who I think for as much as people love to talk about Dan Campbell, like probably have underachieved over the last 2 years. I don't think they've reached where they should have been. So the Lions come in with 9. But still very good for the Eagles. You have to be happy if you're Howie Roseman to see your roster perform this well. But like I said, the Eagles' talent on offense is straight up dwindling, right? Like AJ's gone. The offensive line is more banged up than it used to be. Dallas Goedert, I think the league has spoken as to how they view him. Now, I do think he's very underrated. I think there should be the same level of outrage that there is where Jalen gets ranked as there should be for where Dallas got ranked. Dallas Goedert got ranked 17th at tight ends or something like that. It's insane. He led the team in touchdowns last year. He's still an elite receiving tight end. So that seems low to me. But it's been so many years of us being able to, when we preview the Eagles, when we talk about the Eagles, say, well, they have one of the best skill sets in the NFL. Not so much anymore. And CBS recently ranked the top triplets in the NFL. And to do this, they did quarterback, running back, top pass catcher. And number one on the team, which I think is a joke, but is number one, Joe Burrow, Chase Brown, and Ja'Marr Chase. Now, Ja'Marr Chase is awesome. And when Joe Burrow plays is awesome, Chase Brown is very good. But, and I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, for lack of a, you know, beating a drum or whatever. I don't love the beating a dead horse thing. Joe Burrow needs to win something and make the playoffs before I can view him as the one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But the Bengals come in at number one. The Rams come in at number two. Matthew Stafford, Kyren Williams, and Puka. I'm fine with that. They're all awesome. The Lions, who seemingly don't have to win to be viewed as great. Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown, the player many Eagles fans are hoping Mekhi Lemon can turn into. The Ravens come in at four. The Cowboys at number five, Prescott, Javonte Williams, CeeDee Lamb. The Chiefs, again, Rashee Rice really getting a lot of love considering the uncertainty of where he is at right now. They add Kenneth Walker, a very good signing from the Seahawks. They come in at six. The Bills, number seven. The Niners, number eight. A.J. Brown's new team, the Patriots, come in at number 10. Ramondre Stevenson, a good player, but probably the weakest of the three here with Drake May and A.J. Brown. And the Eagles just get in the top 10. Number 10, the Eagles with Jalen, obviously Saquon, and Devontae. And man, it just feels weird not seeing A.J. there, right? Like, I know this is maybe hitting me more than has other people, but for so long, it's been, for you know, so long, it's been 4 years. But regardless, like, it was A.J. and Devontae, Saquon, Goddard, Hurts, the offensive line. Like, look at this unbelievable offense they have. They should be scoring so many points. Maybe we should kind of change what our expectation is for the offense this year. Like, should they be top 10 in points? Should they be a top 10 offense? If they only have three top 10 players in the league at their respective positions, if Jalen's the 17th best quarterback in the league, if, you know, AJ's no longer here, if they have the 10th best triplets, according to CBS, maybe they don't have to be a top 10 offense. Maybe a fair expectation is for them to be 15th, 13th, something like that, and expect the defense to carry the way. So it's just weird to finally have an Eagles team after a few years of them being dominant, not having a unit where you go, you know what? They should absolutely be one of the best units in the league. All right. So on the other side, Tom Brady was on the New Heights pod. We played one of the clips from him being on the pod yesterday, but he had a bunch of good things to say on that pod. So I want to play one of those clips for you. And then Charles Barkley talked about the Eagles, and maybe it'll be a new rule on the pod. When Charles Barkley talks about the Eagles, I'm going to play it for you guys. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. So Tom Brady was on the New Heights pod with Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift's husband, and talked about a number of different things. But look, one thing we've always talked about on this pod quite a bit, and goes back to an article from 2-3 years ago. I forget who wrote it, but it was a Sports Illustrated article. And the guy, whose name I should be remembering, had interviewed a bunch of great athletes, and he said the only person he had met that is as focused on football and obsessed with football as Tom Brady was Jalen Hurts. And it's something we talked about extensively on the pod, and it makes sense. When you're around Jalen, and look, I'm not around Jalen in any, like, meaningful personal way. Like, I see him at his workplace, right? But he seems like someone when he goes home, he's obsessed with football. So I have always seen some similarities in that way between Jalen and Tom Brady. And I think the fact it seems like they have a good relationship and Tom Brady is a fan of Jalen speaks to maybe Tom Brady seeing the same thing, some of the same things. But so I was scrolling, saw this video, watched it as I normally do when I see a video and I'm scrolling. And I thought it sounded like something a certain Eagles quarterback would say. So here's Tom Brady talking on the New Heights pod about the frustrations of losing.
Losing sucks. It feels horrible for all of us. Yeah. And it's amazing to have the support from people to come in and go, hey, man, it's not your fault. It was the defense's fault. Not your fault. It was the coach's fault. Not your fault. It was the ref's fault. Maybe that helps for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But in the end, it doesn't change any of the outcomes. And I always feel like if you really want to grow up, just take it all on yourself. Just say, no, it's my fault. I got to do better.
Yeah.
I heard Wemby talk the other day after the game, and, you know, it was a tough game.
Yeah.
Knicks were on fire. Wemby said, well, we dominated every game. And I'm like, it's not the point. And I love Wemby. And don't get me wrong. I love him. He's going to have a tremendous career. But it's also like, I always think when I see people talk, how would I answer that question? They were better than we were. And we got to do a better job. Simple. That's actually very motivating.
Yeah.
That's what it takes to win a championship. You guys were better than us, Jason, when we played you. Trav, like, we had a better day than you. That actually doesn't mean we're a better team. We had a better day.
It sparks a fire if you have the right approach. Like, that game, I took the same approach in my mind. Like, what could I have done better that day to be more accountable, to light a fire in my team? You immediately have to look at yourself in the mirror and aggressively attack yourself.
Yeah.
It'll make you feel better knowing that, you know, you dissected and you've done even more to better yourself, to be more prepared, to be more accountable. You'll feel better about the next opportunity.
So when I watched this, the first thing that stuck in my mind was, I think it was after the Eagles lost to Tampa Bay in the playoffs, right? And Jalen Hurts, I think it was after that loss, Jalen Hurts basically sat there and was like, we lost. It wasn't good enough, right? And I always vividly remember him saying that because I feel like it kind of set the tone for how he handles losses during his time with the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, almost never does Jalen Hurts step to a podium after a loss and make excuses. Now, I think sometimes he's not above throwing a bit of a subliminal shot or like those type of things. But he is very clear normally, like, we weren't good enough. We have to be better. Like, that is something he says repeatedly. And I think you hear some of that in how Tom Brady says it. And I think you could say, well, of course, all athletes are going to say that. But as he references there, like, Victor Wembanyama didn't say that. Now, I'm sure he said some version of it at one point in his presser. And, you know, it's not the, like, I'm not saying he always makes excuses, but it did remind me of Jalen there and how he handles himself after losses. And I think that is true. Now, does Jalen internally maybe feel some excuses? Yeah, I think the offensive coordinator thing is definitely something, if you put Jalen on True Serum, that he would, you know, bring up as a reason he struggled. I think he would blame some of the play callers, like those type of things, right? But I think how you handle yourself at the podium matters in some ways the most when you're setting the tone for the team. And it can be frustrating at times because his answers are very short, but Jalen almost always after a loss steps to the podium and, you know, says they weren't good enough. And he doesn't normally point fingers at the podium and he'll normally point to himself. So that reminded me of Jalen, the way Tom Brady said that. So like I said, when Charles Barkley talks about the Eagles, I'm going to play it because I think Charles Barkley, probably one of the five best analysts in all of sports, even including soccer and, you know, all that. Like, I think he's unbelievable at what he does. And as an Eagles fan, interested in his perspective on it. So here's Charles Barkley talking about the Eagles, A.J. Brown, and his thoughts on, you know, how things could be different this year.
But you talked about the bug. To me, it's like July 4th, once we pass there, then you start to think about training camp. You start to hear the pads popping. You talked about the Eagles. We're going to have Jason Kelce later in the show. I'm going to ask him this question. New offense there. You're going to have to teach Jalen Hurts some new things, under center a little bit more. I mean, how much do you think this offense and everything that changes in Philadelphia are going to help Jalen?
Well, A.J. Brown is a great wide receiver. I wish him nothing but the best. Up in New England, but there was too much tension. So I think, I don't know if they'll be as good offensively because they're counting on the young kid they just drafted, but it won't be as intense. And you guys know, when you start having that tension between players, especially in a city like Philadelphia, it's hard to play. Like I say, AJ is a great wide receiver, but there was so much tension in that locker room. I think if they can just, it'll just be freer for everybody. So I think they'll be, will they be as good? I can't answer that question, but there'll be a lot less tension and freedom once the season starts in the locker room.
So I found this part pretty funny, and all the respect in the world for Charles Barkley. But he goes, I don't know if it'll be as good offensively, but it won't be as intense. So I get what he's saying there is you don't know if the players will be as good. We'll see if Mekhi Lemon is as good. We'll see what Dontavian Wicks can do. But it is pretty funny that almost always when you hear people talk about the Eagles and the changes they've made and having A.J. Brown, and we just talked about it, you know, prior to the break about how their skill players are not as good. Like, everyone's like, I don't know if it'll be a good offensively, but at least, you know, Jalen will be in a better mood and at least Jalen won't have to force the ball to someone. Like, guess what, man? It's good to be able to force the ball to someone. That's why you pay people, great receivers, a lot of money. So you can force the ball to them so that you can throw the ball to them when things break down. So you can have somebody you think can make contested catches. So I get what Charles Barkley is saying. I get what people are saying in general, but I just think that line's so funny. I don't know if they'll be as good offensively. Well, that seems like a problem if you don't know they're going to be as good offensively. But if their players aren't as good, maybe we should lower the expectations for the Eagles' offense. All right, bit of a short one today, certainly on the second half, but come catch me on WIP Morning Show Friday morning, and go check out Go Birds Insider if you're still listening. Go in, drop a chat, let me know what's on your mind. Let's talk. We got time before the Eagles training camp begins, but not that much time, thankfully. That'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds. Until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.